Erev Tov Rabotai. Okay, so Me'inyanei Yoma, tonight is the 4th of December, which is, I'll speak about in a moment, why it's kind of weird because nothing else in Halakha is ever determined by a secular date, unless you're into Tkufot and stuff like that. But in regular Orach Chaim Yored De'ah stuff is usually not contingent on a secular date. And the exception to that, famously, is when we start, in America at least, when we start V'tin Talu Matar. So there's an interesting Mishnah in Masechet Ta'anit, Daf Yod. B'gimal b'mar cheshvan shu'alin tegshamim. Technically, the Mishnah says we start asking for rain. Now there's a very big difference between this Mishnah and the first Mishnah in Ta'anit, which is, sometimes people mix it up. There's Haskarat Gvurot Geshamim and She'elat Geshamim. Haskarat Gvurot Geshamim, we already start. It's also subject to Machloket Tanaim. But we hold like Rabbi Yoshua that we start from Yom Tov Acharon. We start from the last day of Sukkot, i.e. from Shemini Atzeret. We start mentioning Gvurot Geshamim, Mashiv Ruach Morid HaGeshem. However, in terms of She'elat Geshamim, asking for rain, we wait. How long do we wait? Machloket Tanaim. Tanakama says the 3rd of Mar Cheshvan. Rabban Gamliel says a little bit later. Rabban Gamliel omer, b'shiv'abo, tetvav yom achar hachag, kedei sheyagi acharon shebeYisrael, min har perat. We wait until the 7th of Mar Cheshvan. Why? Because we in Bizman Bet HaMikdash, people used to be ole laregel, and then, it's interesting that one of the things that the Kohen Gadol davened for Bevet Kodesh HaKodashim is what? V'lo tikanes lefanecha tefilat ovreg derachim le'inyan ha'geshem bilvad. Which means, the Kohen Gadol, I should add, be'et sha'olam tzarich lo. If the world needs rain, the Kohen Gadol davened that HaKadosh Baruch Hu should not accept the tefillah of travelers not to bring rain. Because when a person's traveling, especially back then, they didn't have cars. They went by, foot, hamon, whatever. And if it rained, so, your travel plans are all washed out. Anyway, Bekitzer, bad joke. Yeah. I'm almost 40, I have to prepare. Anyway, Mikol Makom, when you start making jokes that make your kids cringe, you're a dad. So, Mikol Makom. So the Mishnah says, because of that, says Rabban Gamliel, they made a takana not to start She'elat Geshamim. Technically, we should have started the same time that we say Mashiv Ruach. So why don't we? Because people still had to make it back from Beit HaMikdash. Apparently, it was a thing Bizman Shebeit HaMikdash Kayam that the furthest that people would travel for Aliyah LaRegel was Nehar Perat, which is the southernmost border of Eretz Yisrael. Right, that's the Euphrates River. That kind of travels from Iraq all the way down to the south of Eretz Israel. And people would have to get back home. And then when everybody's comfortably back home, Chazan said, okay, let's start asking for Geshamim, which in Eretz Israel is on the 7th of Mar Cheshvan. The Gemara says, interestingly, Halacha is Kerabban Gamliel. The Ran, on the spot, says, hey, wait a second, this Mishnah makes perfect sense. Bizman Shebeit HaMikdash Kayam, and there is a mitzvah of Aliyah LaRegel. But nowadays, that unfortunately, Beit HaMikdash b'Churbano, so how does that work? Says the Ran, Am Yisrael Kedoshim, that even b'Churban Beit HaMikdash, many people still have the minag la'alot la'regel during the Shalosh Egalim, which is obviously still a thing, and because of that, the Takanat Chazal b'mkoma omedet, and they didn't abolish it. Now, interesting, the Gemara says as follows. Shiv. Absolutely. Wow. I'm not. Just sit down, Bo. See, now you got nailed. It's okay. Now, I thought of you today, you know that?
I want to. I was very upset that I was
able to. Oh, did you hear about this?
Oh
my gosh. Anyway, Bekitzer says the Gemara. Amar Bil Azar. הלכה כרבן גמליאל, תניא חנניא אומר, the Gemara brings a baraita, ובגולה עד 60 בתקופה. The Rif and the Ran explain this Gemara, בגולה, in general, גולה means בבל. Anytime the Gemara says גולה, it's a reference to בבל. The Gemara in several places in Shas So there's a very big distinction between Babel and Eretz Yisrael. Eretz Yisrael is Eretz Harim Uvka'ot. You know, this mountainous and plains and whatever, and there's Eretz Yisrael is always needs rain. Limtara shamayim tishtei mayim. Babel, on the other hand, in general, rain was pretty detrimental in Babel. You know why? In Babylon, Iraq, whatever, there were a lot of valleys. And because of that, the ground was always saturated. And anytime it rained, there were floods and whatever. So in the Gola, i.e. in Babel, there was always Ravui. There was always, you know, they didn't really have water problems. The Chachamim said, you know what, we can push off asking for rain, She'elat Talu Matar, until 60 days from the Tkufa. Which Tkufa? No. Yeah, no. That I hear you. Yes, Ma'or. The Rambam Paskin's like Shmuel. No. But I'm talking about which Tkufa? Tkufat Tishri. Because the seasons, Tkufat Tishri, yeah, I just pushed the Tkufa button and Ma'or kind of erupted. But that's good. Yeah. Now, interestingly, the Rambam, by the way, do you know that if you look in the Rambam, Ilchot Kiddush HaChodesh, Perek Gimal, the Gemara says, the Rambam says Meforash that the world is flat? The Rambam is much, not flat really, but he really, the Rambam believed in the geocentric theory. You know that? The Rambam believed that the earth was in the middle of the solar system and that the sun and the moon and all the planets revolved around the earth. Huh? I know. And that was he was very into Aristotle. If you look in the Moreh Nevuchim, he quotes Aristotle all the time, and he writes that Chochmat Aristo, Darga Achat Mitachat LeRuach HaKodesh. Very machshiv. Anyway, but everybody really believed that until Galileo came along. The church tried to kill Galileo because they thought he was a kofer. But eventually, so how's that? No, but one second, how does that make sense? The Rambam himself, at the end of Ilchot Kiddush HaChodesh, writes that all of his theories about sciences were based on the Greek ideas at the time. Greek sciences. And therefore, when those ideas change, you know, science can change, Torah doesn't change, but these ideas, it doesn't really make a difference in halakha what's in the middle of what.
We have to calculate exact lunar cycles way before the Rambam.
Because technically it doesn't matter. Sunrise, sunset, moonrise, moonset, all these, it doesn't really matter physically what's in the middle of what and what revolves around what. The only thing, what we perceive, and therefore, according to the Chokhmah of the time, not only was it a perception of the sun rising and setting, but it was actually in the middle of the solar system. Now, the Rambam writes that any Chokhmah Yevanit can be changed with the times. Yeah, Maor, what's the matter?
Rambam can't hold that it's flat, or even this sound like other choices.
Yeah.
He explicitly states that you can't say it's...
Maori, you sound like a guy I know. Yeah, good.
He explicitly says you can't say that the world being round is good because that's immense. And the world being flat is wrong. That's
not flat. I misspoke. Not flat, but geocentric versus heliocentric. Okay? Copernicus versus Galileo. How's that? Anyway, Bekitzer. Now, back to Shishim Yom from the Tkufa. The Tkufa is when the seasons change. Now, the Chachamim understood that the world needs more water during the winter season. That's when even places like Babel, places like the Gola, that in general are not as contingent on rainwater needed. Therefore, they said, okay, 60 days from the Tkufa, your Tkufa Tishri, which is really the autumnal equinox, which is the beginning of the fall, 60 days after begins the official winter / rainy season, which even places that aren't as contingent as Eretz Yisrael on rain require matar, and that's why we start asking then, be'emet, if you look in Shulchan Aruch, kach nifseka halacha, like Rabban Gamliel in Eretz Yisrael, and like Hananiah in the Baraita, in Chutz La'aretz kin pasak maran, in Or HaChaim Siman Kuf Yud Zayin. Now, for Sfaradim, it's much harder to make a mistake on V'tin Talu Matar Livracha than Ashkenazim. Because by us, it's not just a matter of V'tin Bracha versus V'tin Talu Matar Livracha. The entire text of the Bracha changes. So you can tell, in the summer, the Bracha takes you 30 seconds, whatever, nagid. And in the winter, it takes you a minute and a half because it's a much longer bracha. But sometimes, you know, for Ashkenazim, it's a much bigger deal because it's just a matter of an extra word that you can be mesupak. But for Sfaradim also, a person can be so spazzed in the middle of tefillah, you know, mamash velo yada b'shichva v'kuma. He doesn't know where he's holding, and therefore, what do you do when there's a safek? Now, interesting, as opposed to, I'm not going to say that there's never a time that you're not chozer for Mashiv Aruch Morid HaGeshem, okay? The Mishnah Berurah in Siman Kuf Yudalit, which speaks about Mashiv Aruch Morid HaGeshem, Sfaradim have it much easier than Ashkenazim when it comes to Mashiv Aruch. What do I mean? For a Sfaradi to have messed up Mashiv Aruch Morid HaGeshem, but when I say Sfaradi, it's also Nosach Sfarad. For us, during the summer months, we say Morid HaTal. So if you are a Morid HaTaler during the summer, and you say that instead of Mashiv Aruch Morid HaGeshem in the winter months, Maran writes, quoting the Tur and the Rosh, Morid HaTal is a good thing. It's not a klala during the winter months. The world always needs tal. And therefore, if you say Morid HaTal instead of Mashiv Aruch, in machzirin oto. You don't have to be chozer, you can still continue. However, if you say nothing when you're supposed to be saying Mashiv Aruch Morid HaGeshem, that the Rama Meforash and Siman Kuf Yudalit, as well as the Mishnah Berurah says, you have to be chozer because the Chachamim Mutaken that you have to be mazkir something. Therefore, for Nosach Ashkenaz, that during the rest of the summer, they don't say anything in Atagibor, right? They say Atagibor La'olam Hashem, Mechayim Et Yumat Arav Le'oshia, Mechalkel. They don't say no Morid and not Mashiv. If they skip Mashiv Aruch and don't say anything during the winter months, Chozer LaRosh. Right? That's when, you know, HaKadosh Baruch Hu really sticks it to the Ashkenazim. Shama, over there. But with regards to Baruch Hanan, listen carefully. Everybody would agree that if you were not Sho'el Talu Matar, if you didn't request Talu Matar when the Chachamim required it, you're Mishanim Mimatbea Shetav'u Chachamim B'Tfilah. You have then changed the requisite text that the Chachamim said you have to mention during the tefillah, and a person is not Yotzei the Chovah. Even if you said Vetim Bracha, Bracha is great, but you didn't ask for rain beginning from Arvi tonight, the halacha is Chozer LaRosh. You'd have to repeat Amida. Now, there are, the Mishnah Berurah brings this down, as does Maran Zichrono Livracha, as quoted by Elkut Yosef and Halacha Berurah. There are ways that a person is able to catch himself and fix himself during the tefillah. Listen carefully. Okay? And everybody just thinks, Shema Kolenu. Yes and no. Watch. Anywhere in the middle of the bracha, if you're still in the middle of Baruch Alenu, and you realize, or you're misupak, by the way, with regards to all these halachot, if you're not sure what you said, within 30 days of starting the new text, you have to assume that you said the wrong thing, because that's what your tongue is accustomed to. So if you're misupak in the middle of Birkat Baruch Alenu, all you do is you go back to the beginning, Baruch Alenu, Vetin Talam Matali Bracha, continue. You're good. What happens if you're already at the end of the Bracha and you say, Baruch Ata Hashem? There, there's a machloket aposkim what to do. Okay? Mishnah Berurah doesn't say this. According to Sfaradim, Maran Zichrono Livracha says, because right now, although I'm able to fix it, if I finish Baruch Alenu without having, or Barichenu, without having said Betin Talam Atali Bracha, what am I doing to the Bracha? I'm handicapping the Bracha. Yes, Amida is still fixable, but I'm messing up the Bracha. And therefore, even at the expense of inserting a random Pasuk in Tehillim into the Amida, which is Baruch Ata Adonai Lamedeni Chukecha. Funniest thing is, by Siyumim, when we say that Pasuk, you know the Kahal? Amen! No! It's a, you know what I'm saying? Especially by Sfaradim, you know, by Siyum? Baruch Ata Hashem, Baruch Ata Adonai Lamedeni Chukecha, Amen! What? It's a Pasuk. Yeah, anyway. Does that happen by Ashkenazim? No. Yeah? Oh, you heard that?
Yeah.
Anyway. No, it's fine. I didn't do everything emphatically. Gilad, atam shelano. Gilad, yesh lo neshama sfaradit. Anyway. Kitzer. So over there, according to Maran Zichron Bracha, you would end off with Lamedeni Chukecha. Go back and fix it. I hifsik. You're putting in random psukim into the Amidah. Okay. Sometimes the hifsik is warranted so as not to handicap the bracha by ending off with Avetin bracha. In Ishei Yisrael, in Sefer Ishei Yisrael, he quotes Rav Chaim Kanievsky, Alav Shalom, as having said, not to do that, even at the expense of handicapping the bracha. Do not end off Baruch Ata Hashem, meaning Lamedeni Chukecha. Rather, end off Mevarech Hashanim, but then do the following. And by the way, even according to Sfaradim, if you, let's say you didn't catch it with Lamedeni Chukecha, you already said Mevarech Hashanim, stop. At that moment, there's a rule. The Mishnah Berurah actually does bring this down in Siman Kuf Yud Zayin. The rule is that any time you have not continued the next bracha, you are still, even though you finished the previous bracha, you're still considered in the realm of the previous bracha. And therefore, if you didn't start tikka, you didn't say the word tikka, you can say right there, Baruch Ata Hashem Mevarech Hashanim, V'ten Tal U'Matal Livracha Al Kol Pnei Adama, tikka b'shofar, you're fixed, you're good. Yes? Are you getting this? Yeah, okay, now. Yeah. Once you said the word tikka, done. You can't fix it there anymore. You've continued the Amidah. You can't say V'ten Tal U'Matal Livracha in Birkat Tikka because it's not Shayach over there. You have to say it in Birkat Hashanim. Now listen carefully. Once you said Birkat Tikka, now what do? Says Maran HaShulchan Aruch, you're able to save it in Birkat Shema Kolenu. Hey, wait a second. Shema Kolenu, that's not Birkat Hashanim. Answer, Shema Kolenu is a great bracha. It's generic. It's the all-encompassing bracha to ask for any of your bakashot. V'ten Tal U'Matal Livracha is a bakasha. And therefore, it's appropriate, even if it's not in Birkat Hashanim, to insert that into, over there, you would say it, again, different noscha'ot between Sfaradim and Ashkenazim, before the Khatima. We would say, Chonenu Va'anenu Shema Tfilatenu, before, Ki Ata Shomea Tfilat Kolpe, or Tfilat Amcha Yisrael Berachamim, you would say over there, V'ten Tal U'Matal Livracha Al Kol Pnei Adama, Ki Ata Shomea Tfilat Kolpe, Baruch Ata Hashem Shomea Tfilah. Whatever. No? Shema Kolenu is an all-encompassing bracha for all Kabbalat HaTfilah, and therefore you are allowed to add any personal tefillot or bakashot you want over there in any language. However, be aware that you're still very much within Amidah proper. And therefore, just like any other, by the way, Maran says Mefurash, that you're, it's not only Birkat Shema Kolenu that is appropriate for adding in personal bakashot. Where else in the Amidah can you add in personal bakashot? Any bracha, you're allowed to add in bakashot about that subject matter in that bracha. If you know yourself or somebody needs help to be chozer b'tshuva, you can add it into Birkat Hashivenu Avinu Toratecha. Somebody needs refuah, you add it into Refa'enu. V'chen al zeh aderech. Now, Shema Kolenu is a little bit more broad that you can add in whatever you want over there, but because it's in the middle of the Amidah, if you look in Sefer HaLichot Shlomo on Tefillah, he says an interesting thing. He writes that you can't just blabber, you can't just spew in the middle of Tefillah, Hashem, how you doing? You know, nice to talk to you again. I've been thinking, it's not a time for shtuyot. You have to rehearse the tefillah in your head, whether in Lashon HaKodesh or in any other language. Lashon HaKodesh is preferable. The only thing is, you have to be succinct, brief, and eloquent. Got it? Keep it to the point. No blabbering. Says Rav Shlomo Zalman says, that if a person knows that he's not able to kind of condense his personal bakashot or his personal tefillot into an eloquent language in the middle of the, you know, specific brachot in the Amidah, save it for after the second Yule Ratzon. After the second Yule Ratzon is before Oseh Shalom, is also an appropriate place to ask for personal bakashot, and over there, even if you blabber, it's not a big deal. because it's considered to be the end of Amidah proper. And over there, even if you're not as makpid about the words that you're saying, it's okay. Shema Kolenu is the same thing. Yes, you're able to put any personal tefillot and bakashot into Shema Kolenu, but it's still within the Amidah. You get, that's why I tell people all the time. You're allowed to add in, I would say write it down before, or at least kind of mentally rehearse what you want to say before. Something mesudar, not just like off the cuff. Okay, now, what happens if you finish Shema Kolenu and you didn't mention Talumata? Says the Mishnah Berurah, using the same logic that we said before, that if you didn't continue, if you said Baruch Atah Hashem, oh, same thing. What happens? Ki ata shomea tefilat kol peh, Baruch Atah Hashem. You already said Hashem's name. Same machloket as before. Do I end off shomea tefilah, or do I end off lamedeni chukecha? According to Maran Zichron Levracha, lamedeni chukecha. Rav Chaim Kanievsky disagrees. Lashkenazim says, don't say lamedeni chukecha. Finish off shomea tefilah, but be very careful not to. Don't say retze. Don't say retze. After shomea tefilah, before retze, you'd still be able to insert right there. V'ten talu matal libracha al kol pnei adama. Retze, and then you're fine. Once you started retze, toast. Now what? Yeah, here's where it gets good. Once you start retze, you got to go all the way back to Baruch Aleinu. Now, from Retze until the end of the Amidah, which for all intents and purposes is the second Yul Ratzon, it's all the same halacha. Any place that you remember, you have to go back to Baruch Aleinu and fix it. Now, going back to Baruch Aleinu and fixing it, as opposed to messing it up in Baruch Aleinu and fixing it in Shema Kolenu, your brachot are still kasher. But once you hit Retze and you haven't fixed it, and you got to go back to Baruch Aleinu, that means what? Retroactively, all of your brachot from Baruch Aleinu until Retze have been brachot levatala. Na kishmak. Therefore, when you do, that's the difference. When it's ahead of you, you can still fix it, not brachot levatala. When it's behind you, it's bracha levatala. And then here's the kicker. Ready? What happens if you said the second Yul Ratzon without going back to Baruch Aleinu? You said the second Yul Ratzon, which means, for all intents and purposes, your Amidah is over. Now you win the grand prize of... Now the entire Shemon Esrei is shot. You got to go back to the beginning. Chozer LaRosh. It is rough, but it's also rough not to daven. That being said, Maran Zichron Levracha, around this tkufa, it's all the time, but especially during this tkufa, a little kavana goes a long way. It's important. Because these things matter. You know, I don't know if you ever heard of Rav Nata Greenblatt, Alev Shalom. He was the quintessential American Rav. He was a Talmid Muvak of Rav Moshe. And Rav Moshe sent, his brother was Rav Ephraim Greenblatt, Alev Shalom, the Rivivot Ephraim. They were both Rabbanim in Memphis, Tennessee. No Shaychis, Hickville, whatever. So he had a lot of fun stories. And Rav Nata once said that there was, in Memphis, Tennessee, there was an unaffiliated Jew that came over to him. And he said, Rabbi, I hear what you're saying. Why is Judaism so full of details? Do you think God really cares if I flick the light switch on Shabbat? That's what he asked Rav Nata. Yeah? So in classic Rav Nata style, he answered him. He says, I hear you. Let me ask you a question. Imagine you're on death row, strapped to an electrical chair, and there's a guard waiting in the other room, whatever. You know, how big of a deal is it? Do you really matter? Does it really matter if he flicks that switch? Does it really matter? It's just a switch, you know? Isn't it? And the guy looked at him. You put everything in perspective, which means even the seemingly very, very, you know, the minutiae of this religion up there have a big effect. The Rav Chaim Velazhiner, Nefesh HaChaim, speaks in Sha'ar Aleph, he speaks about it very, very lengthily, about how seemingly minuscule actions in this world can actually have tremendous repercussions in the Olamot HaElyonim, both for good and for bad. So it's important, just a little bit of kavanah, to, you know, to remember what it, and what are we davening for? It's a big deal. Geshem, matar, is makor parnasa. You look throughout the Torah, when the Torah wants to, when the Torah says that HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants to reward us for doing good things, what's the quintessential reward that the Torah always speaks of? Rain. It's always rain. Say it in Kriyat Shema, Yiro Malkosh, Matar HaShamayim, and by the Klalot, what's part of the Klalot? It's not going to rain. Is always the leverage. It's the reward. It's the punishment. It's a big deal. It's parnasa. Person has to realize. Yeah.
Did we not say that that was maybe only back then, because back then they were very agriculturally inclined. Always about.
New York just went through a drought. We're not out of the woods yet. You know that. Prices go up. Crops don't grow. Inflation. Hunger. Thirst, it's not felt as much, but especially in Eretz Yisrael, there's Taniyot, the whole first and second Parakim of Masechet Ta'anit is all about that. There's special Tfilot, there's Taniyot, there's all sorts of things that were done when it didn't rain. That was a sign of a Kadosh Baruch Hu's anger, Bar Minan. So that's what we're doing here. So I decide, you know, the Varba Itom Atov, it's important to think about it for a second. I say all the time. You know, in America, there's a song that we, you know, like a nursery rhyme that's sung to kids, rain, rain, go away, come again another day. That song is Kfira. That song was made by an apikoros that didn't believe in God. Rain, go away? Rain is a gift. It's a matanat Elohim. It's the way HaKadosh Baruch Hu shows us love is with rain. Who are you to say go away? Well, kofer, apikoros. What are you doing? That's a song that you teach to children, to be kfui tova to the matanot of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Celebrate it. And afuch, goyim, is it? Hamorim. Rainbow, which shows HaKadosh Baruch Hu's anger to the world, HaKadosh Baruch Hu rotzil lachriv ta'ona. Wow, how beautiful. Wow, it's so pretty. What pretty? Hamor, you're supposed to be dead now. Everything's afuch, afuch, afuch. Understand? But when you have Torah, kol yashar, kol barur, laila tov.